Boy, howdy. This has been an exciting March Madness so far. Yep, I started it with boy, howdy. Round three of non-productive.com's March Madness competition for women in fiction.
Woo!
It's pretty intense.
You bet your bippy.
Wow. All right. I'm Frank. I'm joined in studio by Katie. Say Katie.
Katie.
Yeah, good. And then everybody else say your names, but take turns.
Nate.
Your names.
Al.
Big Papa Pete.
All right.
I was confused.
A terrible
Nailed
way to, it. All right. We're fine. We have 32 characters left in our March Madness. Actually, I should say we have 16 because I have the results right here on this poorly sealed envelope, which Price Waterhouse had nothing to do with. I know who the winners are for the next round. I can't believe some of these games and how they went down. It's really ridiculous.
I'm still reeling from last round.
I'm afraid.
The comments this time around, particularly nasty. and personal. I do not like that. If you leave a nasty comment, we delete your vote and send a letter to your mother or whatever.
Well, what do you expect, Frank? This is Name Redacted's America.
There you go.
There we go. All right, so let's begin at the beginning. What is with the references in this intro? Man. All right, game one in the Hermione Granger region, which we accidentally call bracket on the website all over the place. The Hermione Granger region, this is going to be some of the big hitters in our competition. We had a lot of upsets last round. This round, on game one, Luna Lovegood from Harry Potter versus Batgirl, a.k.a. Barbara Gordon from DC Comics. What do you folks think about that?
Wow.
It's a fight.
Very different characters.
Yeah.
Very strong in different ways.
I'll tell you this. Our champion has not had a lot of positive things written about her in the comment section. Which, like we say, this is not just a popularity contest. It's not just how much you press the button for a person's name. You also have to defend them. Yet still, when you have these kinds of numbers and these kinds of odds, our fan base has given it to Luna Lovegood. She's moving on to the next round.
I'm going to do it. I voted for her.
The Narkles vote is a block.
I'll say this for Batgirl. She had a lot of passionate arguments for her, and that's really important in this competition. I hope we get somebody who writes a defensive Batgirl, because it's a very nuanced character that not everybody is. Everybody's version of Batgirl is different. And, you know, people make arguments about whether or not she should be in the wheelchair or she should have gotten a chance to be, you know, recover. It's just really cool stuff. We'd like to hear more.
That's right. I think there's so much... So many different takes on Batgirl out there that people couldn't latch on to, you know, this is the version I'm voting for.
Yeah, there's even different characters that have been Batgirl besides Barbara Gordon, and it comes down to just, you know, Luna is herself, and that sort of makes her, like, arguably the stronger character.
I'm going to put it out here right now. I'm going to be negative about this. I don't like being negative, but I'm going to say that the Harry Potter block is just dominating this competition, as they do every year. The Harry Potter heads are just freaking out. If you can't say anything nice about Luna, then maybe we shouldn't be counting your votes, because it, like, zero. Like, all I hear in this podcast is, she is herself. Congratulations. She's a character who's herself. She doesn't get to beat everybody for that. Yeah, I'm putting the chip on your shoulder or knocking it off. I'm not sure how the thing goes, but if you want something about Luna, if there's a reason you keep voting for her, tell us. Because as far as I'm concerned, she's just a kind of fun character that has no bearing on the story at all. Bam.
I'm crying.
I don't care.
Did you read the last movie or read any of the books?
I can read. Speaking of reading, game two. Asami from Legend of Korra versus Eowyn from The Lord of the Rings. Interesting. Legend of Korra avatar block is huge, really powerful.
Yeah.
They're really pushing really strong through our competition. I think we may have lost one or none.
No, we didn't lose any of them last round.
None of them. Wow. Which makes it even more impressive that Eowyn came out ahead.
Wowzers.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I wouldn't have called that.
Our fans overwhelmingly gave it to Eowyn. I don't know what to say.
I voted for the Queen of the Horse Lords myself, but I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I didn't expect anyone else to.
I voted for Sami only because I don't know anything about Eowyn, and I didn't feel comfortable voting for her. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Korra fan, and I still voted for Eowyn just because she brings it home in those movies.
I think that has a lot to say with it. I mean, you look at The Hobbit and their extra character they just sort of added on. Doesn't really bring much to that trilogy. Mm-hmm. But Eowyn, whatever modifications they did to the storyline, really develops and makes her seem like a fun character to play with if you were a little kid playing make-believe Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I'll definitely say that the performance in those films really carries that character like up another notch as to their portrayal in the book. You can't like watch that and not feel that there's some semblance of really just great performance and great character. Like, she watches like her father figure die,
yeah,
and like immediately just
spoiler. Whoa. So next round, we're going to see Luna versus Eowyn.
Ooh.
I think as much as I want Luna to get out, I don't know if Eowyn's got that much strength behind her, but I'll say this. I don't really hate Luna. I just want to see something positive written about her by anyone. All right, game three. Brienne of Tarth, I don't care how you pronounce it, from Game of Thrones, versus Katara from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Another Avatar character.
Another Avatar character.
And this is interesting because they're very polar opposites. Like, Katara is very much the mother character of that show, as we said many times before. And sort of, like, is a very strong and, like defining character because of that. While Brienne is very much the opposite. Brienne is very much the...
motherly at all.
No,
yes.
No. She takes on the warrior aspect and, like, goes out there and decides, I'm going to go and I'm going to kick ass. And
I'm going to put a sword through that dude's chest.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many times.
Brienne is not a warrior woman.
No.
She's just a straight-up warrior.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the same way that Sir Lancelot or the dog, I'm sorry, the hound, are not warrior men.
Yeah.
You know, her gender has nothing to do with it. She is a warrior pure.
I appreciate that point, but I disagree with it. I think her gender has a lot to do with it in the context of Game of Thrones.
Because everybody
just craps on her constantly for almost nothing but for the fact that she is improper in a world that's disgusting and horrible. And anyways, she made it to the next round.
Well,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Bam! Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Right.
Brienne, as I call her, beats Katara from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Call her Phasma if you must.
I'm sorry, Katara. I do love you. Yeah, bye.
That is the second Avatar character that got crushed in as many games after being super dominant. What the hell is wrong with this competition? Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Remember in the seeding where we had like a bunch of video game characters that were ranked really highly, never made it past seeding? In round one, we had all the Steven Universe characters got knocked out, never made it past round one. Now Avatar characters are dying. Why are our fans so ADD? I don't know.
So fickle.
Avatar is the North Carolina of our tournament.
Fight me.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Basketball references.
North Carolina teams are dropping like flies.
All right, game four. This is the big one. Donna Noble from Doctor Who versus Rose Tyler from Doctor Who. Should I even do this one this round, or should I do it like later on?
Nah, don't worry about it.
No, fun.
Okay.
Now let's figure this out. I want to know.
Let's talk about this in detail. Rose, I'll say this right now. Rose is probably, I like Rose a lot for the same reason I like, what's her face? I like Ariel. I like Belle. I like the Disney princesses. I feel like it's very easy and lazy to crap on them. For a couple of reasons. Like, Rose is got that kind of tall poppy. She's been in so many stories that it's easy to kind of knock on her and say, like, oh, I don't like these versions of your stories. Where Donna's got, like, that perfect season that does a lot of fun things. I appreciate both characters, but I feel like it's a little too easy to knock on Rose. That's my thing.
I agree, but that doesn't mean that Donna isn't the better companion.
True. I'll accept that. Yeah.
There might be a reason why it's easy to crap on her.
Oh,
that too.
No, I still think you could say, and this is one of those grounds where all the comments were hate. Just, and there was very little hate on Donna. It was all Donna fans hating on Rose. That's not entirely true. There were people who, I don't remember who Donna was up against last round.
I think it was Connie Maheshwaran.
I'm not sure.
No, Connie was against Rose.
I think Rose, because
Rose was.
There were so many people who voted against Rose because of Connie. Or whoever whoever Rose beat the last round. I'm like, vote. Just vote. That's a much easier way instead of revenge voting in the midterms. Sorry, we got topical. Anyways.
I'm in favor of revenge voting in the midterms.
All right, maybe that's a pretty good idea. So between Donna and Rose, Non-Pro is going to answer the question that everyone has asked, the very unfair, unbalanced question, because Martha was not in it, and that negates this entire thing.
Amy
Donna Kong. Moves on
Yay!
To round three. Donna
As
Noble.
She should.
Yay. Yeah.
All right. I'm okay with this. I'm very okay with this. Ah, boy. This is where we take a commercial break, but we're not gonna. Game five. Leia Organa from Star Wars versus Ms. Marvel, a.k.a. Kamala Khan from Marvel Comics.
This is a tragedy.
This one gutted me, actually.
Why?
Because I like both these characters a lot, actually, and I wound up swinging my vote towards Ms. Marvel for the same reason why I voted for her over Sailor Moon, was that, listen, I love Princess Leia, but it's that idea of the new icon needs to rise, and as much as we like the older ones.
Both of these characters, and I'm not ready to vote between them yet. Not yet. We're on, like, round two here. No!
Katie?
I almost didn't answer this one, and I... angry at you personally, Frank, even though I know it's not your fault.
Top maths. I could not control it.
I don't know. I'm just I'm really hung up on the Villanova game from last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to hear the result of this.
So here's the thing. Early voting, remember, if you are a subscriber to the Non-Pro Network and if you're listening to our podcast, you get the secret word, you get to vote early. And
the duck comes down.
That's right. And early voting of our core fans put it as a tie.
Ugh.
Which is insane. Think about that.
Yeah.
Princess Leia, I'm going to call her Princess Leia because I want to go back to the icon status.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who has been like the character for at least one generation of nerds out there. And this upstart Ms. Marvel were tied. And this is after like a big, you know, Carrie Fisher passed away last year.
Yeah.
You'd think
that
bump would be huge. Tied. When we opened it up for more votes and the public chimed in, very gradually, the lead got bigger and bigger.
I'm so scared right now.
Leia moves on to the next round.
I'm not disappointed.
I mean,
as much as I love Ms. Marvel, I'm okay with it because, like, I mean, it's Princess Leia. So
I will say that I'm disappointed, but only because I would have been disappointed no matter who won.
Yeah.
This is a sad round.
Now, I will say one thing, my personal preference here, I honestly don't know, but I think Ms. Marvel is a fabulous character.
Mm.
And I would almost go on the limb and say, like, maybe even a better character, more nuanced character than the Princess Leia we saw in the three theatrical films. But if you take it into the wider work and all the comics and all the other books that Leia has appeared in, including the more recent movies, I could see that this character is becoming more and more. What I would really like to see is somebody writing a defense for Princess Leia. I know it sounds easy, but if you don't explain to me why this character is so important, then to hell with you.
Well, I'm going to say this. I really saw an upset coming on this one. I thought if there was going to be one big dramatic upset, it was going to be right here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be real tough to unseat Princess Leia after this.
Yeah. I'm looking at this competition, and we don't know who Leia is up against yet. But it's gonna be brutal. I don't think Leia might take this to the top.
Leia's got, we've basically got one more Leia story left to hear.
Yeah.
So I think Leia's got two more shots in this tournament this year and next year.
Oh yeah. Oh, I could see that. Yeah.
And this could be it. So,
assuming they put CGI Leia to rest.
they did say they weren't going to do that.
I certainly hope not.
Can I
just
speak on that for a quick second?
Sure.
Okay.
I saw it recently because the Rogue One is coming out on media.
Digital distribution.
Soon. And if not already. And it didn't bother me while I watched the movie, the uncanny valley of the spoiler alert appearance of Princess Leia at the end.
Oh,
but
hey.
Yeah, it's too bad. And she it didn't really bother me, but when she started like eating like baby Jabba the Hutt's like whole during the film, like her jaw disjointed and she just swallowed them all. That was just creepy. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I don't try to switch the narrative on me. Mm-hmm. Prince, oh, Jabba was just taking revenge from all his offspring being devoured by the evil princess. That's just weird.
Frank, I think you might have been working from an early work print.
Thank God.
Because I'm not sure most of the prints that made it to U.S. theaters skipped that scene.
I should edit that out of the podcast. Yeah. I don't want to be exposed for anything.
Oh, God.
All right. So in game, forgot already, six. Game six, Korra from Legend of Korra, perhaps you've heard of it, versus Azula from Avatar, The Last Airbender.
So we have two Avatar characters fighting each other.
Right? Yes. I know who I want to win.
Who do you want to win?
I want Azula. Azula is awesome. She is such a cool villain. She has such a cool arc. She has so much going on there, and I love her.
I will say there's definitely a defense there, because very few times do we ever have a female villain who is very unapologetically evil and is also at no point as ever uses their body to be evil. Like, we get a lot of those very sexy, villainous characters that act in that manner and are, like, unapologetically evil. No, Azula was very violent and very sadistic in a way that is more often than not reserved for male characters.
That's cool.
She was evil politically, and she wasn't afraid to, like, get in a physical fight. So you got the good kind of stuff. She wasn't written any differently than, like, a boy character would have been. And she got to be, like, a truly evil character, but also a nuanced character with a real arc and development.
I'm just going to say, I don't know any of the Avatar stuff, but I'm listening to you two talk about Azula. In my head, I have been able to apply each and everything that you said to the Wicked Witch of the West.
Okay.
Theoretically, you're not wrong.
I mean, she's evil.
Acceptable. Cool. I appreciate
Azula
this.
Is the Wicked Witch of the West.
Katie, were you saying something? You were screaming no at Nate?
Azula is cool. Everything they said is true. But I've gone on this long journey with Korra. You're with Korra. She's
the main character.
I can't. I have to vote for Korra.
Korra definitely is a very...
Unfortunately, your votes mean nothing because the decision has already been made.
I'm crying.
And Korra moves on to the next round. So one of the things that worries me about this, and let me check my list, there were some good defenses of Korra. Like people, or, you know, we use the term defenses of just to say somebody is arguing for.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some pretty good ones. She is the main character. She is the Avatar in her generation, correct?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's, yeah, it has a lot of strength.
Much like nature abhors a vacuum, the tourney abhors a villain. It's just the way things have gone.
I'm crying.
That may be true.
You're not technically... Yeah, I think that's actually true.
If you've got two fairly evenly matched opponents...
One's good, one's evil.
One's good, one's evil. The evil one is usually going to lose.
Huh. Holy crap. I never noticed that.
Yeah,
you are correct.
Wow, yeah.
Well, I don't know about
statistics,
that.
Statistics, folks. When you make them up, they don't lie.
Game 7 might prove Pete wrong. It's Peggy Carter from Agent Carter versus Judy Hopps from Zootopia. Oh. I don't care.
I did say evenly matched.
Which one is the villain, according to Frank?
Oh, that's obvious. We don't even need to get into
further
it. It's Judy Hopps. Come on. I mean, she's clearly the villain.
Oh, because she fights against racism.
Is that what you're saying? Exactly.
You racist.
Oh, well.
So, another curiousness on this, early voting put these two characters in a tie, which shocked me, to be honest, but then we brought it out to our fan base, and our fan base did make a pretty distinctive decision. What do you think they decided?
I think they went Hopps.
I think they went Hopps.
I think Agent Carter kills Leslie Knope twice.
I think... wow.
I love Katie's reaction to that.
Katie, that was a Katie seeking missile from Pete. Oh, yeah.
And it found its mark.
Yeah. And it's true. Peggy does beat Hopps.
No.
And another Leslie Knope type character. I don't know. I think maybe a lot of people didn't see it. The people who argued for Judy Hopps argued for her political stance and how significant she was there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's just something fun. I'm going to put this out there. Maybe it's this. I think it's fun to see humanoid characters do well in this competition. I really do think that if you're a human, you have this is sample no, this. I think sample they, this. Do whatever rap song you want. If you're a human, you're going ahead of this dirty.
Anthropomorphized women are at a distinct disadvantage in the tournament. Also,
although that doesn't explain how Donna won. No, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
I was just gonna. I just picked a name.
Because she was
a
fox.
Oh, okay. That's
but
what
Rose
I meant.
Is literally a plant.
Oh, huh? What?
I'm funny. Shut up.
Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
That would have been funnier. Can we do another change?
I didn't watch the first season.
Can we? All right. So
she
in
was a plant? Well, I don't think many of us did. It came out like the 40s, didn't it?
In our next competition, let's slow down a bit. We're gonna have a Leia versus Korra battle next round.
Ooh.
Whoa. I'm afraid.
Mm. Whoa.
Yeah. Now, I would have been worried about this, except for the fact that all our Avatar people seem to be flailing about a little bit. I know we only had three competitions, and one of them was Avatar versus Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's even fair to call this Avatar. You know, Legend of Korra is Avatar universe,
right.
I guess.
She has to fight the Na'vi. So.
Yeah, sure. That joke. Hi, joke. You're back. All right. It's going to be interesting, but who is Peggy going up against? Well, the winner from Game 8. Game 8, Merida from Brave versus Moana from Moana. Katie, did you get a chance to see Merida as was your self-assigned homework assignment?
No.
You are why America's going to fail.
I know. If I watch it, though, I'll write a defense in her no matter what the result is.
Oh, all right. Sounds good.
All right.
Anybody else have a vested interest?
What if you don't like her and don't think she should have won?
She said it. She's going to write a really weak defense about Merida.
I'll come to bat and say, like, as much as I enjoyed Brave as a film, I don't necessarily feel Merida as an incredibly strong character in that film.
I didn't even really like Brave that much. I thought it was a pretty movie. I kind of liked a lot of the concepts, but I don't really think it was that fun to watch.
I mean,
why I never went to go see it, because I heard that it looked nice, and that was the best I heard.
There were bears.
There were bears, and everybody's hair looked really nice. The colors were really good. I like the idea of it. The concept of the movie was really strong, and I feel like it could have gone somewhere really cool with the whole, you know, the mom thing and the problem she was facing and the no love interest and whatever. But I feel like it just fell really flat and was not that great.
Well, I'll step in and defend Merida and Brave. I love the movie. I think it's a really good movie. I think it's well done. Yes, it does look very pretty, but I think it perfectly does all the things that people who are suspicious of princess films. It hits all those buttons much better than Moana did. Moana, there's a gag in there about her being a princess and not being a princess. And certainly it does address her ability to lead her people, but for the most part, if you really want to address the subject matter, if you want to dig deep into what classic princess fairy tales mean for children and how it kind of it's just a delivery of who you're going to get married, how marriage is happily ever after, how the only conflict could be from some villainous stepmother or whatever. Like, it hits on all those perfectly and does the best job I have ever seen in any Disney movie. And I think it's a mistake to discount that. So that's my defense of Merida.
I agree with that, Frank, and I also love the Celtic set dressing to that whole story.
It was really cool.
I like that.
What do you guys, those of you who supported Moana, think about Moana?
You can go out.
No, go ahead, Katie.
Well, isn't Merida one of her things is that she doesn't want to get married, right?
She
doesn't want to fill that princess role.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that Moana takes that a step forward, and that's not even a question. Like, that's just not a conflict for her. She's a chief. She's in charge. She has her own journey. Why would she ever need to be looking for a husband or anything like that? And I just think it's really cool.
I think it's great. And I think, like, of all the, like I said, the Disney princess, lowercase princess, air quotes princesses, like, she is, Moana's probably the one who leads her people the best. My last thing about Merida is, and this is true because I've been reading a lot of comments, I don't think you can just get away with not depicting something that's problematic in your background. I think it's better to address it and say, this is our answer to it. So that's why I like stories like Merida, because you can address it. You could be like, all right, everybody knows what the classic princess story is, that marriage is a backdrop. Instead of just ignoring it, I'm going to address it and stick it to it. I think something similar can be said for Iron Fist, that's currently, you know, in all the debate circles. I mean, you could just recast the character, or you could have taken it as an opportunity to address a long-standing problem with that genre. As I describe in my article on non-productive.com, which may be full of crap. Who cares? But the important thing is, only one person can win Game 8, and that person is, drum roll, it was actually a tie. When we opened it up to early voting, it came down to a tie. Not quite a tie. Early voting, before we closed early voting, Merida was in the lead, but only barely. And once we opened it up to the masses, Moana took it away. Yeah, so Moana is going to move on to the next round.
I think that despite those problems being absolutely true, Frank, I still think the character deserves to move on to the next round.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are two awesome characters. I wish both of them could have moved on.
Yeah.
My belief is that Moana moves on because of the Katie issue, which is so many people who are like, I didn't really see Brave, or I saw it like 5 or 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not new enough. All right, we're moving on.
Is it possible to have seen Brave 10 years ago?
I think it might be.
Came out like 4 or 5 years ago. I don't think it was that
long. Now we are in the Sarah Connors region.
All right.
Oh,
then.
Boy.
Another highly contentious region with our first game. Unbelievable. Game 9. Monkey from Kubo and the Two Strings. Our lowest seeded character, who defeated one of our highest seeded characters last round.
That's crazy.
Versus Lisa Simpson from The Simpsons. Which is also kind of amazing that Lisa Simpson is in this competition, because she's been around for decades, but was not even mentioned in the first time we did this.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And here's the crazy thing. Neck and neck.
Neck and neck. All right.
Monkey and Lisa, neck and neck. And this case, for the majority of votes, the vast majority of votes, tied up almost completely. The one thing that puts a character above the others, though, when the numbers are actually tied, are those defenses comments. And there were enough positive comments for one character to push it out ahead of the other. And that is why...
This is not good for Lisa. Aww.
Lisa Simpson moves on to the
next
round.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
I'm sorry, Katie, go.
Sorry. I helped put Monkey on this list.
Yeah.
But I voted for Lisa and commented that she's... I didn't realize how much I loved her until I saw her on this list. I was like, when you're a little kid, she's smart, she's talented, and she sticks up for herself, and she's just a little kid.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. She's so much more developed and has obviously the opportunity to be more developed than Monkey. I love Monkey. I love Kubo. I love the depiction of, you know, motherhood in that story. It's great, but Lisa.
Lisa's just such a long-standing character with so much history of addressing those real topics, like we were just talking about with Brave, with really addressing those topics and coming just, like, at them full force. And also, in other episodes, just being an interesting character. She manages to be well-rounded in that she's fun, and then also will take on those real challenges.
Plus, she's a druggie. Really, check out the Simpsons history. Every time whether she's drinking water on the fair ride or anything else, she gets high. It's fun. I'm sorry.
Trucker's choice.
There you go.
I don't know what's going
on. Trucker's choice, stay awake pills.
That's right. Yeah. I'm so excited. All right, game 10. Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road versus Professor McGonagall from Harry Potter.
I really hope Furiosa won this, because as much as I like Professor McGonagall, Furiosa is just such a freaking amazing character and so badass in every sense of that word. And McGonagall's cool and she does stuff and maybe she's underrated, whatever. No, but Furiosa, just like, no, take it. Extreme truck driving, metal arm and punch things, do it.
I have to agree. Like, I love Professor McGonagall, she's a strong and interesting character. She has a great influence on Harry and on the story. She's really interesting and really cool. And then there's Furiosa, and I saw that movie 4 times in theaters. I took my dad, who I don't even talk to, out to that movie to see it. I thought it was so good. And then I shaved my head. I love her.
She's... Then you shaved his head, and it was amazing.
Don't tell him about that. That wasn't me.
I don't even like Professor McGonagall. I'm not saying that I hate the character. I'm just saying like she ain't that big a deal. She really isn't. And I gave props, I think, to Katie the first time. It was like, oh, first, you know, adult human to give Harry affection. I'm like, no, wait, not true. Not at all true. That's Hagrid.
Yeah, Hagrid, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's
so,
Hagrid.
Shut up.
He is half giant.
I guess. Whatever. It's just, I mean.
You fools know nothing of Nerva.
I guess I should reread the books or whatever, or the ponderous Pottermore, because Professor McGonagall's moving on to the next damn round.
No!
With grace and sophistication, you freaking cyborg barbarians.
Wow.
No!
So, let me put this out there again. This is the Harry Potter contingent, angry that Hermione's not in this, voting up Harry Potter characters or whatever. They're heathens.
No, I think anybody voting for McGonagall is voting because they like McGonagall, because I would vote for McGonagall against another character. I would vote for her. It's not a character that I wouldn't, but Furiosa is Furiosa!
Yeah. This is just an outrage.
I shaved my head!
Yeah. What do you have to do to show your fandom for Professor McGonagall?
Eleven shaved her head because
you have to
of
put,
Furiosa.
Like, glue.
Oh my god, yeah, that's such a good story.
If, all right. Yeah. If I can just ask you all in the most British way possible to please keep calm and carry on.
All right.
I'm ready to fight. Yeah, I'm ready to throw down.
Well, calm. If you're ready to fight, you're going to hate Game 11. Belle from Beauty and the Beast versus Toph Beifong from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Toph,
should I get right to this?
Yeah.
Again, and I'll put this out there, I have a major problem. I don't know why it is. I just think it's lazy when people criticize these classic characters, like classic fairy tale characters, by putting them up against modern storytelling. Specifically, like, that would be like saying Moby Dick is boring. Yeah, sure, fine, it's boring. But, like, read it in the context it was written. Anyways, Toph
it's
wins.
It's still boring, by
yay!
I mean, that's cool. I mean, it's one of the few Avatar characters I would have really been behind during this competition. So.
I'm really familiar with where the Beauty and the Beast comes with it. I still voted against her. Toph is a great and interesting dynamic character, and I don't like Belle.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say this is because...
The best Korra character or Avatar character on here.
Pete, you're trying to say something.
It's all good. I'm just going to go ahead and say that this is because people voted before going out and seeing the new...
Oh, yeah.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Because, and you know what? I don't care about giving a spoiler alert. I don't care about spoilers. She goes full on Furiosa in the final act.
It's pretty awesome.
Shaves her head.
Yeah.
Like,
then for some reason starts eating these like Jabba the Hutt babies. These like little like hatchling slug things. Just like devouring them. They're squealing and screaming. Like I was like, this is a little weird. But I like it.
Oh.
Game 12. Make fan art for this podcast. Draw the things I just described and post them in comments to this post, please. Thank you. Game 12. Lady Eboshi from Princess Mononoke versus Mulan from Mulan.
I don't think Eboshi's going to make it as much as Eboshi's a great character,
but Mulan, now that's the princess that really speaks to me and did as when I was a kid. I grew up watching Mulan over and over and over and over again.
Good
that's
princess.
The one. You want to look back at old princesses from the 90s and early 2000s?
Or more.
That's her.
Even more inexplicable is why she's referred to as a princess, unlike Moana, who actually has sort of a thing.
She married a general. At no point was
but
she
why
a princess.
Even, that bothers the hell out of me that she marries a general. I remember watching the movie going, wait, what is this last act? What is going on? It was as if she was eating Jabba the Hutt babies. I'm like, where is this coming from? I'm
sorry. You fight good.
Mulan deserves to win because she's the only one who was made into a man.
Damn.
Hate mail to me.
Send hate mail. Do fan art of the podcast. Hate mail to Pete. And then fan art of Pete receiving hate mail. So I don't know. I love Lady Eboshi. I think she's a really great character. Yeah. I think Mulan has a much more cultural impact, I think. I would like, as the website says, I would love to see the Kickstarter that to fund the Kickstarter that makes this an actual movie. That would be wonderful. Mulan moves it on to the Yay! Next round. That's very good.
Yay!
Yay. I'm excited as well. I don't remember who Lady Eboshi was fighting in the previous round, but apparently there were some revenge votes as well.
I think it was a Steven Universe character.
What think I voted? Steven Universe people?
Oh, yeah, I think
she
was against Pearl. Yeah, I voted for her, though. Yeah. I voted for Eboshi.
All right. Game 13. We're entering the Ellen Ripley region. Are we ready for this?
Yes. I'm ready. I'm prepared.
Not yet. Let me tie my shoes.
All right.
Fight me.
Okay, go ahead.
This would have been a much more exciting game outside of... this year. What the hell did I just say? You decide. Rey from Star Wars The Force Awakens versus Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games.
That's easy.
Relatively one-sided. Yeah,
I feel like Katniss had her time and it kind of ended.
Yeah.
I like Katniss in the books. I don't like her in the movies.
I feel like the first time we did the Women in Fiction, Katniss would have won this hands down.
Yeah.
But largely because Rey didn't exist at that point.
Yeah. I have no idea what I was saying earlier.
I find this difficult just because we don't really know that much about Rey. Yeah, she was cool in that one movie, I know so much about Katniss.
Thank you. One of our commenters said, Katniss, well, Rey hasn't saved the world yet. And that is absolutely true. Katniss does, in some way, save the world. I haven't read all the books or watched all the movies. But yeah, she does stuff. Rey just sort of like survives and is cool. I don't know. I'm beginning to feel more Katniss than Rey. Cat Rey.
I want to say it's particularly telling to me that Katniss saved the world and Rey hasn't actually done anything, and I find Rey to be a much more interesting and compelling character even with that information.
Yeah. Mm.
Fascinating.
I'm going to agree with that.
And the winner for Game 13 is Rey.
Yay!
Oh my gosh.
The Force Awakens. So
what a surprise!
Oh my golly willikers.
Wow. All right, guys.
I'm so surprised.
Trying to build up some kind of emotional steam here with the audience.
Hey,
but...
I said yay. Fight me.
All right. All right. Game 14, Nate versus Frank. Game 14, Daria from Daria versus Marceline the Vampire Queen from Adventure Time. Oh, God. The only comment on this game is, ha, 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 ha. Excellent. That is what the NAVPRO website has to say about this game. It was
so
fun.
It's come to this.
Early voting put them at a tie, head to head. We opened up the voting to the public, and it was pretty much a tie, head to head. But, again, winner goes to the person who has the most dramatic defenses.
Which is ha 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 ha.
Well, the website's description was ha 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 ha. Excellent. Oh. But the actual comments our listeners left were much more interesting, including giving one character credit for developing their sense of humor and their way of dealing with people and the voice of a generation. And then one comment, which I love, which was outstretched hand. What was it? Ball struck to court. Hand outstretched minutes later, and I was like, what is and then I realized it's describing the opening when the ball comes at Daria, it bounces, she does nothing to it, then her hand goes up after it. Like, I'm like, all right, perfect, thank you. Daria moves on to the next round.
Yay!
That's which fair, means that yes. Daria will be up against Rey from Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Oh, no!
But I will say, it's gonna happen. It's great that Daria moves on, because she wasn't in the last time we did this competition. And she is absolutely a voice of a generation, and she has every right to be here.
Awesome. Winner gets a last name.
Oh, Morgendorfer.
Actually,
could
I
we
knew
please
that.
Have a yeah. version of You're Standing on My Neck sung by Marceline?
All right. Yeah, we'll get right on that. As interpreted by Al. All right. Game 15 and Game 16. Game 15 will have Jessica Jones. It's basically Netflix series versus Game of Thrones in both these games. And it's also Jessica Jones from Marvel, from Jessica Jones, I guess, and Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones versus mm-hmm. Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones versus Eleven from Stranger Things.
Mm.
Wow. This is a crazy block that we did not engineer. Remember, we used top maths.
Top maths. Mm-hmm.
Those That's numbers.
Right. Indeed. Game 15. What do we think about this entire batch?
Game of Thrones versus Netflix?
Yeah.
Netflix.
Yeah, I'm actually. Yeah. I feel like the Netflix shows kind of present these much stronger characters.
I 100% say Netflix is more fun than Game of Thrones.
I enjoy watching Netflix.
I enjoy watching Netflix.
I don't even know why I'm still watching Game of Thrones.
Even when
anymore.
They're sad, Netflix is like, yeah, it's like, I liked oh, this it. Is. Like Jessica Jones was Jessica had some Jones dark
was
moments.
It was really
like,
dark.
I was like, all right, this character has agency. It's not just the depression that is Game of Thrones, where I'm just watching
I
it,
feel
going
bad
like,
watching it.
Everybody is just awful, and awful things will happen forever. And then, why am I even awake?
What?
Like,
no.
If there's no character to root for, why am I watching this? It
Pete?
Feels soulless.
Game of Thrones is awesome.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know how to describe it. Like cutting.
Oh, all right.
It's like TV cutting.
Yeah, no, it really is so destructive and horrible. Like that comment.
I mean,
which
there are other
edit.
Things that
but
are self-destructive and
better.
Horrible, though. BoJack Horseman is self-destructive and horrible to watch, but still good, and yet somehow Game of Thrones doesn't feel like BoJack Horseman.
Really, yeah, it does not feel, there's no catharsis to it, there's no, it's just, I'm not happy with it.
Just
don't
keep like watching.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, thank you.
It
you
gets have better. To. It's like life.
I right. put it away.
So game 15, Jessica Jones versus Sansa Stark. It's hard for me. It was neck and neck for our audience as well. These are within like one or two vote variances between these two characters, which is insane. And each of them had some like dramatic comments written for them in one way or another. But there was a definitive winner for Game 15, and that was Sansa Stark.
All right. I'm sorry.
I wrote the defense for Sansa Stark. There's from off mic in the background. I wrote the defense for Sansa Stark. I do think it's another one of those characters that people are interpreting it like wrong. Mm-hmm. You have to read it within the context of the universe she's in. I get it. I'm really surprised that she beat Jessica Jones because so many people hate Sansa. I figure that prejudice would have built up. And
yeah, you'd think that.
You know, I actually don't dislike Sansa Stark. I actually really like her. I think that there's a lot to that character if you actually look at that character's arc and how far she's come and the things she's had to deal with and how she's dealt with them. I don't think the narrative has been kind to her in introducing things that weren't in the book, but she is a character I think is potentially interesting. I just think that Jessica Jones is a way better character.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Jessica Jones has changed so much from the way she evolved in the comic books. She's regressed now, in the public mind at least, to her very dark origins in Alias.
Mm-hmm.
She had actually moved past that in the comic books, and she found a life and had a kid with Luke Cage.
Spoiler.
In the comic books,
not
really. I don't care.
It's kind of.
And now even the comic books have slipped back.
I would say that's like, well, I think it's tragedy that the comics have slipped back because they always have to match the Netflix series, which is unfortunate. But I think that narrative was really important to a lot of people.
I'm sure. But I don't know.
I'm going to be a little bit more cutthroat on this and say that I just think Game of Thrones is such an insanely popular show that you just can't beat the odds. I know a lot of we know Jessica Jones, but I guess too many more people.
Yeah, it could
know.
Be people just don't even know who she is.
Game 16, Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones versus 11 from Stranger Things.
I like Daenerys. I do. I like her a lot. But
I famously didn't even like Stranger Things that much, and I voted for 11. I like 11.
I think Stranger Things is too popular. For the same reason Sansa won the last one, I think 11 wins this one. Which is not to take away from 11.
Right.
11's really interesting. I've actually finally watched the first half of Stranger Things.
Right. Gasp!
And I really do enjoy it. I enjoy the character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm eager to see more growth in the character. But everything is there. Like, there's no signs of slowing down for me.
I don't know. Daenerys Targaryen is, like, super, super popular.
Mm. I
don't know why. Sansa's story, where it has ended up, has grown so much. Daenerys is just keep making terrible decisions. She's not a good leader. She shouldn't be on here.
It might be how long you've read the books or watched the show, because there is definitely a point early in Game of Thrones where you're like, Daenerys, she's totally going to get revenge on all the horrible thing that's happening to everybody I care about. But then there's a book, which I don't remember the name of it, and a season, I suppose, I stopped watching, where you're just like, she's just going to keep messing. She's going to be in this desert forever, messing up. She's not going to get to the rest of the story, and it's very frustrating. So I guess depending on where you are in that arc, you could be incredibly frustrated or, like, in favor.
Here's my take on Daenerys, is that I think most of the people who are really, really passionately into her don't know her name. Most of the people that, like,
Lisey.
Love her and, like, oh my god, she's the best character ever, she kicks so much butt. Call her Khaleesi. And I don't think they're going to bother to read far enough in and find out who Daenerys Targaryen is.
Well, if that bothers you, how about you leave some comments on these next couple of rounds and actually write a defense for this character, either in the comments or a full article.
Yeah, tell me why I'm wrong.
Submissions. We love it because we put that chip on your shoulder so you can knock it off. I don't know how this works. I think you knock your own chip off.
What's a chip?
And then you say, hey, man, or woman, or whatever, man, just like, you know. And then you write that article, and we post it on the internet. And then, I don't know, something happens.
I tell people they're wrong and dare them to I tell people they're dumb and dare them to write a thing that says why I'm wrong.
Right, right. Now, speaking of being wrong, if you're a subscriber to the show and an active listener, you can vote for, you can get access to early voting. So all you have to do... If you're a subscriber to the show, you could get access to early voting. All you have to do is go to non-productive.com/secret and write in the secret word of the day.
Did you decide it this week, Frank?
It is wrong. All caps, just like you yell everything into the internet. Type in wrong and you'll have access to secret voting, to early voting. And please, yeah, make use of those comments.
Frank, that's
the
stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I love
it. Now every time somebody will type into... type in the wrong password, they'll say, no, that password is wrong.
No,
it'll actually give them the password.
Wow. I'm glad we all paused for a moment that. To get Pete in with that.
Dad jokes.
There we
so,
go.
I'm going to say one more thing about Eleven here. I like Eleven. I love Stranger Things. I wonder if Eleven really is that great of a character. I mean, if she's a great character, she might be a great character. It's hard for me to say. I'm not going to spoil anything about it. But, like, at times I'm like, this is a very simplistic character in many ways. A lot of it's non-dialogue if there's anything good she's doing. Which, I mean, she's doing a great job acting, and there's a lot of passion in there. But there isn't the depth of character that Daenerys has. Which is why... Do we actually want to do the results? You guys are putting your hands up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. I was just going to say, everybody loved her the first time when she was called X-23.
Wow.
And they loved X-23 the first time when she was called
Wolverine.
Which
is why it is surprising to me that in Game 16, 11 makes it to the next round.
Yay!
Which means... Wow. The fake... I would have to put in a studio audience.
That was genuinely a sigh of relief on
all right.
my part.
You know what that means? That means next round, we're going to have Sansa Stark versus 11 from Stranger Things. Screw you, Game of Thrones fans. You're never going to see this happen. I'm talking about on this competition. I'm talking about on the show. I'm talking about in the books. Daenerys is never making it to Westeros. It's just going to end with a huh?
So many nosebleeds.
This is just not going to happen. It's just going to be one of those things where like it's like The Departed where you're like, what the hell's in the Manila envelope? Manila?
Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Was it Gwyneth Paltrow's head?
Minerva.
Yeah, but... Minerva McGonagall? What?
So that does it for our podcast. You'll have to listen to the whole thing to find the secret word, you jerk. But please do, because we actually do. We are curious about your feedback. And please leave us a positive rating on your favorite podcast. Favorite podcast. And then after you leave us positive feedback on your favorite podcast, leave it on your favorite podcatcher. Because it helps other people find the show. Round 3 starts very soon. In fact, actually starts at the end of this recording. And you can vote for your favorite characters. And again, let us know why you love these characters, or else we'll be less sad when we take their heads out in the back and bash them in with a rock. We'll take the whole body out. We're not going to just take their heads. Why would we bash in their heads if they're like severed? And fan art. I want to see Vore fan art.
No Vore!
I do not! End the show! Someone stop the podcast!
No, keep going. I like this.
No Vore!
Oh, God! Why am I here?
Some people just want to watch the world burn.
Or get eaten.
Like
scared.
Like, make it clean or else we can't do anything with it. But, like, you could be cartoony stupid. That's fine.
Some people just want to watch Little Baby Jabba the
Hutt's. No, we're not ending now. I just want to see Jabba's face as he sees his offspring being devoured by the evil Princess
no!
Leia. As was apparent in the extended cut of Rogue One.
Good night, everybody.
Oh. You could keep saying good night. We're still doing the show.
I don't want any more.
We're not going anywhere until you finish your Jabba babies, Al.
Jabba babies would be delicious. They'd be like a mixture of gummy worms and jelly babies.
Oh my god, that does sound
good.
Pretty good.
Right?
They're like gushers almost.
Oh, well,
I was imagining like coffee.
There was a little licorice nib candy named something babies.
Yeah.
Look it up, kids, because I'm not saying the name.
No, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We were happy where we were. We were happy where we were.
But Jabba babies could take over for that. That's not offensive.
Yeah.
They'd be like green apple.
Get in touch with Gushers.
No.
Oh, they'd be the same flavor as Ecto Cooler.
Oh, my God. I thought that, and then you said that. That was amazing.
Everybody thought that, Frank, because it's the right thing to do.
And the right thing for you to do is to give us a high rating on your favorite pop cap. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.